So yeah, if you have your Bible, grab it, open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 while you're turning there. I just would like to share with you a story that I saw a couple of weeks ago on my TikTok feed. On Wednesday, October 18th, social media influencer Douglas Mackey, a.k.a. Ricky Vaughn, he was sentenced to 7 months in a federal prison and fined $15,000 for his role in a conspiracy to deprive Americans of their voting rights in the 2016 presidential election. How did he do that? What was his crime, right? He made a meme. You should see the picture on your screen. He made a meme that said this: avoid the line, vote from home, text Hillary to 59925. He made a meme. It was a joke. Because anyone with the tiniest bit of intelligence should know that you cannot vote in any kind of election by phone or by text. However, some 5,000 people fell for it. Apparently, 5,000 people actually thought that you could vote by text. In other words, they were led astray. And I don't think there's anyone here this morning who would stand up and say, you know what, I love being made to look like a fool. Please, someone, anyone, take advantage of me. And yet, at times, despite our best intentions, right, we can be fooled. We can be led astray. At times, we can follow people like Douglas Mackey. And this is exactly what is happening at the church in Corinth. They seem to be ditching Paul and the gospel for some shady, deceitful, false apostles and their half-baked preaching. And so we're going to kind of pick up where we left off last Sunday, and Paul's going to just continue to defend his ministry. And as he does, you will see ways in which you too can avoid being led astray, in ways in which you too can avoid being made to look like a fool. And so Paul, he tells them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to pick it up in verse 1. He said, I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. And we're going to see why he's making this passionate plea to the Corinthians here in a second. Look at verse 2. For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. So get the imagery here, if you would, for a second. Paul sees himself as a sort of father of the bride. And he has committed himself to getting his daughter to the wedding on time, right? The day of, without her trying to run off with someone else. And apparently things are not going well with the church at Corinth and him trying to accomplish this goal. The Corinthians seem to have been infatuated by someone else, and Paul is desperately trying to slap some sense into them. He tells them, I love you. And more important than that, God loves you. How on earth could you possibly be chasing after someone else after knowing all this? Well, here's how. If you want to be made not to look like the fool, how to not to be led astray, you don't ignore the ones who love you the most.
I love you.
If you want to be led astray, if you want to be made to look like the fool, well, then you ignore the ones who love you the most. And it's easy to understand, if we stop and really think about it, how this can take place. Because there is something in each and every one of us that is drawn to people who make us feel good. There's something in each and every one of us that is drawn to people who say nice things about us. I mean, who would not want to be made to feel special all the time? But the unfortunate truth of it all is this, is that people who say nice things to us all this time simply are not telling you the truth. I hate to burst your bubble, but you are not that nice. And guess what? Neither am I. I know you're shocked. But those people who love us, those people who really love us, they will want to see us grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And this means that sometimes those individuals, those people who love you the most, sometimes they're going to say things to you that aren't particularly nice things to hear. Do you have someone like that in your life who will say hard things to you? If you don't, you need to start praying to God and asking God that He will send people like that into your life. If you do have them, don't resent them. Amen. Don't get mad at them. In fact, thank God for them and make sure you spend time with those people. You ask them questions about stuff that really matters. But if you want to be led astray, if you want to be made to look like the fool, well, then you just simply ignore them. Don't listen to them. But ignoring those that they love the most, it wasn't the only thing the Corinthians were guilty of. They were also apparently swapping truth for lies. Or to put it more bluntly, they were gullible. Listen to where Paul goes in verse number 3. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. So just as the serpent deceived Eve, the Corinthians had apparently been misled and from following Christ wholeheartedly. And all it took for them leaving the gospel message was someone proclaiming another Jesus. All it took was someone offering a different spirit or even preaching a different gospel. And guess what? The Corinthians, they were off to the races. Or as Paul just put it, he said, you accepted it readily enough. You put up with it readily enough. And even though this reflected badly on the Corinthians, think about this. It reflected on these new teachers even worse. You see, sure, the Corinthians were made to look like the fool, but Paul will label these new teachers as being satanic. You might be thinking to yourself, wait a minute, JD. You're going maybe a little bit too far there. Sure, they were troublemakers, and sure, maybe they were a bit bombastic and pompous, but just label them as doing the work of Satan, don't you think that's taking it a little bit too far? And my answer to those questions would be no. This is exactly how the Apostle Paul describes them. And he says that in the same way that the serpent deceived Eve and was cunning to Eve and suckered Eve into thinking that she and Adam could get away with anything but wholehearted obedience to the commands of God, these false teachers, these Satan worshipers, they were able to deceive the Corinthians and encourage the Corinthians to follow this same kind of self-indulgent track. Because of that, Paul labels these teachers as enemies of the gospel. They and the Corinthians had swapped the truth for lies. And church, I'm here to tell you, this is always, always, always the way of the fool. If you want to be led astray, you will swap truth for lies. And I think we can guess how the Apostle Paul, right, felt about these new teachers and what they were teaching, and the fact that they had suckered these Corinthians into believing what they were believing. But guess what? You don't have to guess. Paul just comes out and tells us, beginning in verse number 5. Indeed, I consider that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles. I love that. And the commentaries that I was reading this past week, I mean, it's not known, it's not for sure who labeled these teachers as being super apostles. I mean, did Paul label them as such, or maybe they called themselves as such? But it's really pathetic when you think about it. Because here is the Apostle Paul, probably, arguably, the greatest church planner, theologian that the world has ever seen. And the Corinthians had extended exposure to him. I mean, probably outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, the person that you would probably want to spend time with is the Apostle Paul. They should have clearly seen from his visits and his time with him that he was the real deal. They should have clearly seen from his first letter that he had written to them basically about a year before, the kind of man that they were dealing with. But no, the Corinthians preferred these super apostles. And as I thought about it, I thought, I wonder if they were embarrassed. I wonder if they got embarrassed or felt a little bit ashamed at their failure at being impressed with Paul. They should be. Because look at what he has to write to them in verse number 6. Even if I'm unskilled, that word unskilled in the Greek is where we get our word idiot from. And so the Apostle Paul is maybe giving them the argument that even if I'm an idiot in speaking, I'm not very eloquent in my speech. Listen to what he says. I am not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way we have made this plain to you in all things. You see, the church in Corinth should have known that when it came with knowing God and knowing things about God and the gospel, Paul was legit. He was the real deal. The issue at hand seems to be that the Corinthians weren't interested in the real deal. They were looking for show. They were looking, if I could put it in our 21st century vernacular, it seems to be that they were looking to be entertained. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. And guess what? Not much has changed in 2,000 years. There's not one of us that doesn't like feeling good or like being entertained. All of us like to be wowed and dazzled. I never will forget. I'll confess. I never will forget going to my first OSU football game to watch Connor in the drum line. My exposure pretty much up to that point to the college football level was minimal. My exposure to football was mainly high school football on Friday nights. Go Rams. And can I just tell you something? The comparison with high school Friday night football pales in comparison with Saturday college football. I mean, I was wowed. I was entertained. And when I went back to Friday Night Lights, I thought to myself, this is nothing. I'm ready. I was saying to myself, I'm ready to go back to Stillwater and watch some Cowboys play football. But there's not one of us that doesn't like to be entertained. Partly because it distracts us from the ho-hum of our daily life. It distracts us from what is happening in the world around us. But on a deeper level, if I can just be real with you, on a deeper level, it's partly because of our own insecurity. You see, most of us feel our own weaknesses very acutely when we see someone else who is maybe stronger than us, more eloquent than us, better looking than us. You just fill in the blank. In those areas where we know that we're weak and we see someone else who is stronger in that area, we then become oblivious to what weaknesses he or she or that individual may have. We end up judging other people and making discernment about other people based on what we know about ourselves to what we quite don't know about someone else. And if I'm going to get really real with you, we do this all the time when it comes to churches. I hear it all the time. I can't tell you. In fact, I'd probably be a rich man. I can't tell you the number of times I've had people walk into this church and be like, "Oh, Pastor JD, New Heights is the best thing since sliced bread. You guys are amazing. Everyone's so welcoming. It's great. I'm so excited to be here." Only to have 2 years later, the same individual leaving because the newness or the glow of our church has now worn off and they're off to a better church. Shoot, sometimes it doesn't even take 2 years. Sometimes it just takes 2 months, but I think you get the point. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now. I'll let the cat out of the bag. If you feel like God is truly leading you to another congregation to get plugged in to where you can serve and be a part and be a blessing to that congregation, listen to me. I'm all for that. I want to support you. I want to pray for you and your family. I get it. I really do. But if you're leaving because you're enamored with the shiny new penny, don't. Because I'm here to tell you that another church just has as many problems as we have. In fact, sometimes they have more. The grass is not always greener on the other side. And like the old saying I've heard, if it is greener on the other side, it's just because the manure has been spread around more. And this sense of insecurity that many of us have is, I believe, an inherent weakness that the church in Corinth had. Because listen to how the apostle describes them. We did the series a couple years ago, I can't remember. But listen to how he describes them back in his first letter to them, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to pick it up in verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Who's Paul talking about in these verses? God. The church. He's describing the Corinthians. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were of noble birth, but God chose you. And this old identity that they had, it left them vulnerable. It left the door open for them to be far too easily impressed with the show. To be far too easily impressed with the shiny new penny. And that's how it is with all of us. We take what we know about ourselves and we compare it to what we don't know about someone else. I mean, seriously, take time this afternoon, this week, to think about it. Who gets past your defenses because they are just a little bit like the person you wish you were? It's worth thinking about unless you want to be led astray, unless you want to be made to look like the fool, in which case you should completely ignore those people who love you. You should give up on the truth. You should be impressed by the show. And then finally, this is a good one. If you want to walk out of here and say to yourself, hey, I want to be made to look like the fool, here it is. Respect those who exploit you. Go back to 2 Corinthians 11. Paul writes in verse 7. This is rich. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached God's gospel to you free of charge? Unbelievable. The Corinthians were so messed up. They were so deceived that they thought it was a sin that Paul had humbled himself by not charging them. Even though it's clear throughout even the Old Testament that God exalts people who humble themselves by doing what Paul did, they labeled it a sin. And Paul didn't even ask for support. Imagine that. You have the Apostle Paul, and he didn't even ask for a penny. In fact, he used other people's money to live off of. Verse 8. I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. He didn't charge them a penny. He didn't do this because he did not want to burden them. But the Corinthians didn't see it that way. Instead, they despised the Apostle Paul, and they honored these street hustlers who were exploiting them and taking advantage of them. But this was Paul's approach to sharing the good news of Christ to other nations, other cities. It was fundamental to his mission in the region, and he wasn't going to be distracted in any way from throwing the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. Listen to verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you. God knows I do. Translation. It's Corinthians. It's crazy for you to think I don't love you because I don't rip you off. It's insane for you to think that just because I'm not taking money from you, that I don't love you. It's sheer madness that you honor and you support and you love these super apostles more. And to get them, to attempt to get them to face up to reality, Paul says this in verse 12. And what I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. He's saying that we're going to keep doing what we've been doing until you realize the difference between our methods and those who are trying to take advantage of you. Listen, he describes them in verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. He keeps on. He doesn't stop there, right? He identifies them as servants of Satan. Verse 14. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. If you want to be made to look like a fool, if you want to be led astray, then go ahead, respect those who are exploiting you, who are taking advantage of you. Now, at this juncture, it'd be very easy for us, right, to simply despise these ignorant Corinthians at this point. I mean, give me a break. Couldn't you guys see it? Didn't you know? It's so much easier to spot other people's blind spots than it is to recognize our own blind spots that we may have. And yes, you do have them. And church, listen to me, our enemy Satan, he's not stupid. He's not this some cartoon character with a pitchfork, right? Scripture just told us, Satan doesn't come to you as Satan. Whatever image you may have of him, he does not come to you as Satan. And I'm going to take it a step further. Sin does not come to you as sin. It always comes to us as something that is better. Something that will make your life more enjoyable. Something that will make you into a better person. And so it's easy to be led astray. It's easy to be made to look like the fool. In fact, it takes little to no effort on your part. Getting it wrong comes naturally to most of us. So once again, let me take the monkey off your back, right? Everyone can take a deep sigh of relief. You're in good company. Amen. All you have to do is look around, and if anyone was honest with you, they would tell you, I've been where you've been before. You're not the only one. So what are we to do? What's our takeaway when we to move forward? With God's help, you basically need to do the opposite of everything we just described. You need to begin to listen to those who love you and care about you. You need to hold on to the truth. You need to know the truth. Know who Christ is and what does Scripture say? He will set you free. You need to know the truth. You need to be impressed by the real deal and not the show. And you need to respect those who teach you the truth and try to model it in their own lives as well. You can be made wise. You can live a life of wisdom. But we're going to talk about that more next Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you so much for this morning and for the fun that we've had. It's such a joy to be able to celebrate with my brothers and sisters in Christ about what you're doing in our midst, whether it's through simple outreach events, where we're just trying to love on our community, or whether it's where we've seen an individual dedicate their life to you by publicly declaring through baptism who you are in their lives. It's good to celebrate. And just as it's good to celebrate, Father, it's also good that we lean on one another in our times of need. And so in these next few moments, that's what we want to do. We want to lean on you, and we also want to lean on one another. Because, Father, we don't want to be led astray. We don't want to be made to look like the fool. We don't want to follow people like Douglas Mackey and be tricked. And the only way that can happen is if we stay close to you and stay close to one another. So in these next few moments, that's what we're going to do. We're going to respond to what you're speaking into our hearts. So, Spirit, do what only you can do in these next few moments. I ask this all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Church, I love you.